Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that thy soul, that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or the left, thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Can you say amen to the word of God?
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Very quickly, a little American history. Who do most consider to be the father of the American Navy? I figured one of these boys would answer it. Does anybody know? Take a stab at it.
John Paul Jones.
Very good. John Paul Jones, he was a very unique and interesting fellow. Quite eccentric, actually. He was in his early 30s. He refused to wear American clothing because he said that a British uniform was more attractive. He was out to make a name for himself. It was his whole goal to trouble the British. So for the first time in over 700 years, there was an enemy that actually landed, or didn't land per se, but brought the battle to the shores of Great Britain. And John Paul Jones said, I'm not going to fight over in America, I'm going over there. So he took the war to Britain, and he went all the way along all the coasts, and he would fire upon merchant ships, ships that were going to America for warships, for cargo ships, for supply ships, and he brought war against them. And he said, okay. He said, I'll try to stop them before they get there. So he did. And he fought for a good while, and he decided to make one of his most brazen attacks. He picked out one of the largest ships. He saw it. He's sailing. He sees one of the finest ships that the British had, that was pretty well equal to what he had. They had much mightier ships, bigger guns, bigger cannons, more firepower. But he was a smart fellow. He wasn't dumb enough to try to take on one of them. He found one, saw one, said, this is the one. So he attacks it. He gets in the middle of the fight. He takes a real beating. I mean, he gives a beating. His ship takes a beating. It's really rough. They ask him in the middle of the fight, are you ready to quit? Are you done fighting? And he made a famous saying, which was, a little louder, I have not yet begun to fight. It's it's just as much as some of the other famous sayings throughout history. That is one of the most famous sayings that has ever taken place in American history. The man's taken a beating, and they said, are you done fighting? No way. I have yet but to begun to fight. I wish to title my message tonight after that very saying, that we have yet begun to fight. Joshua comes to the end. If you go throughout the Pentateuch, I guess that's how you pronounce it, the first five books of the Old Testament, Genesis through Deuteronomy, and you see that each one is in chronological order. They flow one book. And to be very honest, forgive me, because of my lack of ignorance for years, I did not know that until I have made it a commitment that I'm going to go through all the Scriptures and do some serious study. And I've been reading through it. And I believe Brother Al and I, for the longest time, were about the same place, because he'd get up and say, in my daily readings, I'm here. And I'd say, yeah, that's where I'm at. Or, yeah, I just got through there. And I think we stayed for a long time. I think he's ahead of me now. I believe he's going up clear over into the Kings and stuff. He's got ahead of me in his daily readings. And I was reading through that, and I come to the book of Joshua, and just like that, Joshua is a continuance of the last chapter in the book of Deuteronomy. Moses has died. They have mourned Moses for about 30 days. They've spent a long time at the death of Moses. Of course, Moses has went into the mountains. The Lord buries Moses. No one knows where it's at. Moses has been buried. They mourn the loss. It's a great loss. They're standing just on the other side of Jordan, if I can say that, the other side of Canaan, rather, at the Jordan River. They're facing the Jordan. They have been in very little conflict. There's been a few battles. The Lord has been gradually preparing these people. These people are not warriors. The children of Israel were not fighting men. They were slaves for 400 years. All they knew how to do was make brick. All they basically knew how to do was survive. They was given their food understanding that they had land, they could grow it. It was right there for them. They had a place, so everything was right there. They did not know what they were about to face. They didn't know that. They was not men of war. They didn't know what it was. So the Lord had gradually been bringing the children of Israel to this day. He had brought them to this point. He had given them battles over in the wilderness. There had been a few kings that had come against the children of Israel. You remember some of those. You remember when Balaam will go out and certain kings come up, and Balaam goes to curse the children of Israel, and God won't let him curse them, but in the contrary, blesses the children of Israel. And they have had a few battles, but they haven't been very great. They haven't been on wide scale. There has just been a few simple things that has happened. The children of Israel have spied out the land 40 years prior to this. You know that story, not backtracking. And there's been very little preparation, but enough. But enough. God has prepared them for this day. They're standing on Jordan. God tells Moses, you notice verse 1 of chapter 1, God Himself now speaks to Joshua. He tells Moses, give your rule to Joshua. That is a process that is done. Joshua receives his commission from Moses and from the Lord. And now the Lord no longer speaks to Moses. He's gone, but he speaks to Joshua. So for the first time, God Himself in an audible voice speaks to Joshua. These are not just the words of Moses any longer. Some of them will be a lot of repeat of Moses' words, what God had told Moses to tell him. Three different times, matter of fact, God has given these same principles to the children of Israel and to Joshua. And now, God Himself talks to Joshua. Notice, please, verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that who? The Lord spake unto Joshua. God speaks to Joshua and says, all right, Joshua, the time of mourning is over. It's time to go into Canaan. So they're standing, I hope I'm not a real good picture portrayer. If you can imagine standing, looking across Jordan, not for Joshua. Joshua's ready to go. But for the children of Israel, that some of them have been grumbling, most of them are done died out, or all of them, there's a few that isn't able to go. They're there. Most of them's done died out. That they don't know what to expect. They have not been fighting. There's been a few battles. There's been some heated things that's happened, but not what's about ready to take place. From the time that they go into Canaan, from then till the end of the war, it ain't nothing but fighting after fighting after fighting, war after war, and they're about to fight. And the Lord looks at Joshua and says, Joshua, it's time to take the battle to the enemy. It's time to go into Canaan. It's time to take what I have given you. I have promised you this land. And now it's time to fight. We stand on that threshold. If we've never known it for the last several years, last almost 18, 19 years of the existence of this church, I've been privy to it either by tape or by coming to visit or now by living here. God has been preparing us for the battles that are about ready to come to the shores of America, and it's time to fight. It's time to get up. It's time to gain what God has told us. The Lord has promised us over and over again that He'll give us a harvest, that this church will reach out to the land. God has been giving us messages that said that we can reach our community, that not only our community, but our nation. Not only our nation, but our world. God is opening doors. That's been there. We're standing, Brother John, on the banks of Jordan, and the enemy's out there, and it's time to fight. It's time to gear up. It's time to wear our shoulders back and say, Lord, give me a sword that I can fight. Now, we've had some preparation. Now, we're there whether we like it or whether you think you're ready or not. As the old saying in the kid game, go, ready or not, here I come. Ready or not, the devil's on his way. Whether we like it or not, we're standing facing enemies and circumstances that we have never faced before. Now, I don't want to belabor or beat a dead horse, but I just believe that God gives us some scripture so that we can understand where we are. Brother Woods preached about it last Wednesday night and talked a little bit about it. I want to reiterate some of those things. We are on the threshold of the coming of God. Whether we think it or whether you're not, or whether you're not sure, if you ain't sure, get sure. It's happening. It's where we are. It's where we're standing. If you don't think that the storms are getting worse, if the battles, Texas is about ready to be destroyed. Over 1,000 homes, I heard today, over 1,000 homes have been destroyed with fire. New England, they got the water, we got the wind. It's coming. You think it's not going to get worse? You better buckle up. The battle's coming to our land. Our government's falling apart. Our school systems have fallen apart. Our churches has fallen apart. Our nation has fallen apart. It's time to fight. It's time to wake up and say, Lord, I'm ready to battle. I'm ready to go. How many age people tonight want to be a Joshua? He's 80 years old. And he says, give me a sword. I'm ready to fight. God, where you send me, I'll go. I'm not going to sit back whether I'm old or whether I'm young. The battle's out there. The enemy's about ready to overrun us. It's either fight or die. I can't remember which branch it is. I know I was dealing with a young Marine down there in Fayetteville. And he was a typical Marine. He said that the Army do not allow their chaplains to carry weapons. But the Marines do. I said, sign me up for the Marines. Because they said it's their right. Now he said now wherever those chaplains go, he said they've always got at least 3 to 4 men, trained men with them. They're never alone. Because he said, we know something. We need that man. When we get out there, we need someone to pray. We know our world understands, as the old saying is, I know it's a little bit humorous, but there's no atheist in a foxhole. Right. When you get down there and you're about ready to face judgment, unless if you don't have any sense at all about you, anything at all, you know there's a God, and you're about ready to meet Him. Right. You may not know who He is, you may not know nothing about Him, but you know He's there. You know He's there. Why? Because the enemy is standing at the door knocking, and I'm about ready to face death. I'm telling you, we're standing at the banks of Jordan, and Canaan's right there. Souls are ready to be saved. Lands are ready to be had. Why? Because God said so. God has promised us a harvest. God has said we would have it. Brother Woods preached an excellent message Sunday where he said that we can have. God says he'll do it. What God says he'll do. Sometimes we are so, it's like love. We heard love, 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 love so much that you almost, that was almost a non-existent message among Pentecostals. Because we backed away from that thing so far, Brother John, because that's what the charismatics were preaching. That's what the liberals were preaching. That's what the world was preaching. I'm telling you, the greatest of these is love. We can't walk away from it just because they perverted the doctrine. Just because it's what, if God says He'll give us all things, then just because the world's perverted doesn't mean we can't have it. We're standing on Jordan's banks and the battle's a rage. The enemy wants to destroy our lives. But I'm telling you, Cain and ours. God said He would be with us.
Amen.
If we're not ready to fight, we're going to lay down and die. We're going to give up every heritage we got. I done told you a while back, even among my own family, if I don't ever go back again, because I'm tired of having to worry about men who don't want it, Brother John.
Right.
I don't know how else to say it. Because if they don't want the truth, it's time to shake the dust off our feet and cross Jordan. Because there's lands over there I can have. This land over here, they're dying. They're dead. They're not going to make it. They're not crossing with me. But I've got a few here tonight that I believe are ready to cross Jordan's banks. I believe you've got your swords in the sheaths, got the shoes on your feet. It's time to take back what the devil's taken from us. God has been preparing this church in so many fronts. It isn't funny. I don't know how else to say it, but Doug, I'm glad you read that scripture tonight. Just simple preaching tonight. Man, He's talked about love. We've been taught about patience. We've taught about being good stewards. We've been taught about church covenants. We've been taught about the Holy Ghost. We've been taught about sanctification. We've been taught about salvation. We've been taught how to dress. We've been taught how to act in the world. We've been taught in this church how to be good citizens. We've been taught how to conduct ourselves among sinners and among saints. We've been taught on every facet, on every front. Do we need growing? Yeah, we need growing. Do we need more of every one of those things? Yeah, we do. But it's time to fight.
Right.
They wasn't ready. They may have it all together. But God says it's time to go over. It's time to cross Jordan. Pick up your stuff and go. Why? Because I've given you the land.
Right. Amen.
Now this is where I believe we're standing. I believe there's a lot of people, including me first and foremost, that don't have it all together. Anybody in here like that tonight? If you think you've got it all together, you've got a problem. But having it all together isn't what got the children of Israel going across. What got them across the river is because God said it's time. Amen? It wasn't because they were trained in military tactics. It wasn't because they knew every step that they was going to have to take in Canaan. It was because God said, now it's time. It's time to go over. It's time to fight. It's time to take up the sword. You've been laboring for this day. 40 years I've been laboring and get to this point to weed out those who don't believe, who ain't ready to go, who don't trust in God, who do not believe that it's for them. Now, I don't know about you, but if you don't believe it's for us, then you're going to stay behind. But if you're of a mind that says God promises that we would reach our nation, that we would reach our city, that we would reach our world, then you can come with me. If not, stay home. Because I'm ready to go. I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to go wherever it takes, Brother Nathan, to preach the Word of God to whoever will. Why? Because God said it's time to go.
Right.
Glory, hallelujah.
Right.
But in that preparation, in that mindset, okay, it's time to fight. God gives them 4 instructions that they are to do. Very simple. Not hard, not elaborate. I want to deal with a little bit of them tonight. Don't know how far I'll get. Might do a little teaching tonight. A little preaching, teaching. God wants us to go fight. But we've got to have a battle plan. God didn't send them into Canaan unprepared. Did they know everything? No. Was they completely aware of every tactic of what was going to happen? No. Matter of fact, their first battle of victory ends in defeat with Achan. The first thing that God tells him to do when you get over there, the first battle, the first city's mine. The first fruits come back to me. Pay your tithes. That's what he says. This is the first land. I want the gold, I want the silver, I want everything. You don't want no garments, you ain't allowed to have nothing. The first major victory ends up in defeat. God has to fix it. They're not always prepared. We're not always going to know everything. But I firmly believe, Brother John, God's coming. The world's going to fall apart more and more and more as comes closer. Things are going to happen. Natural disasters are going to get worse. I'm not prophesying, I'm just preaching. That's what the book says. That's what we have to look forward to. I'm not, I don't have to be a Jeremiah to know that and read it. Brother Lewis has been teaching about it over there in Matthew 24, book of Revelation. We're going to be studying, be here every Sunday afternoon. If you want to hear a little more about Revelation, I read through chapter 12 this week. Couldn't wait to get home on Sunday to finish reading some more chapter about the book of Revelation, the revealing. Why? Because that's where we're headed. That's where we're at. That's where we're standing. We're standing on Jordan's bank and the fight's awaiting us. And I think it's begun. Now, just opinion here. I'm just going to state that clear. Opinion. I believe that old Irene was the beginning of a lot of storms in America. Just think about it. Just look back through just in the past few years. Brother Doug mentioned 10 years. 10 years ain't too long. It's passed quickly when you think about it, but in the scheme of things, it's not a long time. In those past 10 years, man, Japan's almost been wiped out. Our country's been hit with how many major storms? Katrina? They should never build a city 10 feet below sea level anyway. Dumbest thing you ever heard. But nonetheless, the devastation that has come to our land, and then you hit just a Category 1 storm. Category 1. And it hits our shores, and it lasts for how many hours did you say today? I heard you say it today, Brother Al. About 15, 20 hours?
Yes, it was about
15 hours. Steady storm. Category 1. Who's seen that? It took us by surprise. Well, I'm telling you, there's a lot of things in Canaan that's about to take us by surprise, if I can put it that way tonight. That's where we are. I believe there's some things that we're about to face that I don't believe there ain't no way to prepare for them, Brother Doug. You can't, I went out and I mean, I was the typical implanted northerner. Man, I got out, I bought my generator, I got my oil lamps, I mean, I was ready. I was one of the ones, you can say what you want, I was going to Walmart and buying the water, and I'm getting bread, I'm getting ready. But when it all comes down to it, brother, like you can't prepare for it. What are you going to last, 3 or 4 days a week? What's it going to be? I mean, when that power and the gas runs out and there's no more generators to flow, what's going to happen after that? When it's all gone, there's no way to get it. What are you going to do? I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're standing in Canaan's land, and we're going to have to trust God.
Right, amen.
We're coming to the hour where we're going to have to be dependent upon God to keep us. If I learned anything, I learned real quick. I was really prepared. I was. And it came. Thank the Lord. I want to be honest. I might have seemed like a northerner, but I didn't do that just because of fear of a storm. The Lord led me to do it. I've had some other storms that's come, that's been tropical storms that had the potential of becoming hurricanes in the last 7 years that I've been here. But this time, Brother John, the Spirit of the Lord impressed on me. You need to do a little more this time. You need to go out a little bit more. So I did. I went the extra mile. I mean, I went beyond. I went out. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. He impressed on my heart to do it. Now, you can say what you want, but He did. And I want you to know, when the power was off for 4 days, I was glad. I was glad that I had that generator sitting in my garage. I was glad. Why? Because I was in Canaan and I needed God to help me. I had food that needed to be kept and freezers and things that needed to be done. And I looked at God and said, God, You're a merciful God. But I know when the gas runs out, the generator won't run no more. And I'm still in Canaan and I've got a Hittite and a Jebusite facing me death. I need God to help me. I need God to deliver me, and that's where we are, whether it's in a storm, whether it's in a flood, whether it's in an army, whatever's coming our way. I believe we're headed into Canaan, and we need God.
Yes.
He gives them four things. I'm going to get down there. I've got to get to it here. Four things. On these four things, he premises it with two simple statements. The first one, be strong. Be strong. It's a wonderful word. Doug mentioned it tonight. Repair. Redeeming. Fortify. to recover, to retain, to be urgent, to be self-valiant, to withstand. Oftentimes when we read this passage and the word strong, we think it's the big strong guy, you know, the big muscles and all that. Being strong physically, when you get ready, be strong. But it's not so much a physical strength that he's talking about. There's a mindset. This is dealing with the heart and with the mind. To be strong and of a good courage. He says, number one, be strong to repair. What are you repairing? Well, I don't know about you, but if you ain't very careful when you're standing in the face of the enemy, whatever that enemy is, it might be debt. It might be more bills than you got money. And you're standing there, you don't know what to do. You don't know which way to go. There's something in you, you got to repair yourself. How do you do that? What does it mean, repair yourself? To fortify. To build it up. He says to build up. Job put it this way. And the Lord said, And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity. Although thou movest against me, or against him, to destroy him without a cause. That word, holdeth fast, is the same word that's found in the book of Joshua. Even though you come against him, still he's strong. Still he's fortified. Still he's repaired. What does it mean? He ain't letting go. He's holding his position. The ground that he's standing on, the mindset that he has about God. Brother John said it well tonight. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. But blessed be the name of the Lord. He is strong. What's that mean? It means he trusts God more than anything else. You cannot physically or even mentally prepare for something until it happens. For example, someone dying. So many times, even saints of God, they got a loved one, a terminal illness comes, they know they're dying. They prepare, they get everything right down to the T. They go get the grave lot, they get the memorial, they plan it all out. They do everything possible. But when the day comes, they're not ever fully prepared. Not ever. God helps, God gives strength. I believe there's a lot in here tonight will testify to that. God helps, but there's nothing you can do until that day comes and you're facing that enemy. And you're standing on those shores and you look up and that final loss overwhelms you. And you realize this is it, it's final, it's done. I'm telling you, that's in that moment. In that moment, it may last a while for some, may just be an instant for others. But in that moment, you better reach up and grab a hold of the altar again by the horns. Then you need to take a hold of another ladder, because I'm telling you, right there at that moment, you cross Jordan and there's an enemy that faces you, and you got to be strong. There's got to be something to fortify the inward man. Something to reach in. Why? Because Job said, I've lost it all, but still he holds fast. What a glorious, splendorous thing that God Himself looks down and said, "This devil, he's still strong. He's still strong. This saint of God is holding on. They ain't letting go in the face of the enemy. He holds fast the truth."
Right.
The book of Chronicles says, "Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall, and he fortified them." Literally, he made them strong. He went out and he did whatever it takes to build them up. He built embankments around them. He fortified. He put more wood on the structures. He went out and rolled boulders in. You saw every battle's the same way. You get out there, modern days, they dig that trench and they go out there and they take and lay their landmines out in front of that. Then they come in front of the landmines and they put serpentine wire. Then they come behind that and they put up sticks and anything else to discourage. Why? Because they're fortifying their position. They're making their position strong. What you and I need to do is pray. We need to go to God and we need to fortify our minds. We need to build ourselves up. That's what God told Joshua. Joshua, be strong. Fortify yourself. We like sometimes just to have a little good cliche, Brother Doug. Just a good saying. Oh, just be strong and have a good courage. I believe it was more to that than Joshua. It wasn't just mere words. He understood, Joshua, you're about ready to face a battle. And you need to strengthen yourself. You need to get your mind ready. You need to get your heart prepared for what's coming. There's a battle. Be strong.
All right, amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Second thing he tells them, he said, be strong and very courageous. Courageous means to determine to make oneself alert, to confirm oneself, to persist in, to prove superior to. Be strong and very courageous. Probably the best scripture I can think of comes to my mind of this idea of courageous, of making oneself alert. Fortifying their mind and their heart and preparing for what's to be done was that when Gideon's men goes down to the water. The Bible says they lapped up that water like a dog. Literally, then when they get down, they scoop that stuff up and they're looking for the enemy. They're prepared, Brother Al. They're courageous. These men are ready for a fight. They have prepared their minds. They have made themselves alert to the situation that is around them. Sometimes I think we're like a bunch of ostriches. And we stick our head in the sand and think it ain't never going to come to us. But yet when it does come to our doors, I'm telling you, it rocks our world. Why am I saying these things tonight? Because I don't want it to rock your world. It is the job of ministers to go out and to cry aloud that we prepare ourselves for what's coming. Now, I believe it tonight. Now, you may not believe that it's coming. That's okay. If you're not, don't prepare. But I find in the Scriptures that there were foolish and there were wise that prepared and made it ready. And when the time comes and the virgin says, there's not enough for me and you. I've made myself ready. Why haven't you made yourself ready? I'm doing all I can do that we can get a mindset to look around at our nation, to look at our churches, to look deep into our own selves. Sister Judy couldn't have said it better than what she said tonight. I appreciate it. I find myself in the same place. I looked around my shop and I have found myself the owner of 3 table saws. Why does anyone need 3 table saws? And I went in the house and I said, Randy, it's time to have a yard sale. We sometimes can gather and can come, and the next thing you know, you've got more gas to put in different things because now you've got more stuff to deal with. You didn't have to buy 1 bottle of stabilizer, now you've got to buy 5. You didn't need just 5 gallons of gas, now you need 25. And we have made ourselves so dependent. Now, I'm not no Amishman. I love my Husqvarna, my steel, and my Poland chainsaws. And at times, I use all 3 of them too. But I'm telling you, we better get our minds wrapped about where we're going. It's time we get ourselves into a mindset we're standing. I almost had Sister Knox sing that song, I'm standing now on Jordan's banks. Because I believe tonight that's where we are. I believe that we are facing the same thing that Joshua faced. God had made them ready. God had prepared them. And now He tells them, be strong and very courageous. Fortify your mind. Repair the breaches. Repair the holes in your minds, the loophole. Tear down the strongholds that keep you away from the Holy Ghost, that keep you away from sanctification, that stop us from going further in God, that stop us from giving when it's time to give, or being there when it's time to be there, or giving of ourselves when it's time to give, and laboring when it's time to labor, or being in the house of God when the doors are open. It's time that we tear down the stronghold and we fortify our minds. And the things that have kept us away from going forward. We're standing on Canaan's backs. And the enemy is out there. But we need to fortify ourselves. We need to be strong and of a good courage.
Right. Amen.
We need to redeem the time is right. Every time we can get, we need to be praying. We need to be on our faith. Does anyone find it? Now, I'm just asking. If you don't want to answer, don't nod. It's all right. But does anyone find it harder after a hurricane to find time to pray? Boy, the devil would sure like to destroy us. There is no job. There is no storm. There is no person that is worth losing the fight with the enemy when we're so close to Canaan. Glory! We're standing there waiting, and God gives them the command, be strong and very courageous. Fortify yourselves. Get ready, Joshua. As ready as you can be. Get your mind prepared. You're out facing an enemy. And get ready. Oh, I'm so glad of this message. Whether you are or not. Then he gives them four simple things. Be strong and of good courage. And then he says, number one, observe to do all the law. The word observe means to guard, to beware, to be circumspect, to take heed, to observe, to preserve, to regard, to reserve in one's heart, to be sure of, to observe. There's a lot of people today who know God's commandments, but they don't keep them. They know what they should be doing, but they ain't doing it. God told him, if you're going to take Canaan, if you're going to be victorious, number one, observe to do all the law of God. Obey it. It's one thing to know it. It's another to obey it.
Amen.
Ephesians puts it this way. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Rather, reprove them. For it is a shame to speak of those things which are done in them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doeth make manifest the light, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Seeing then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. It is our job. What's that word, circumspectly? Anybody?
All around.
You ever been in a dark alley? Someplace you just didn't feel comfortable and you can't find something? Why? Because there's enemies around you. Boogeyman's in every corner. Every shadow's got a little goblin waiting to jump out and get you. And you realize, man, I need to be careful here. Been into some of those neighborhoods. Brother Michael told me he went into one neighborhood. I don't mean this prejudicially or not. I don't mean it that way at all. Goes into a certain neighborhood delivering Chinese food. Said one little boy walks out and he said, hey, Daddy, there's a white boy out here. He said, I began to feel real uncomfortable real quick. Because he realized this was a place that most people don't go. It was a different kind of position. I felt that way when I went into Mexico. When I walked in there and I looked around and I looked at Brother Woods, we ain't in Kansas anymore, Toto. There's an enemy all around us that you can feel that you can cut with a knife. I can't explain that. But I'm telling you, everywhere we went, now I went with Brother Tito, the man we stayed with, Brother Doug, broke my belt, broke my britches, had to go get a new one, going down through that store to get a belt. And I'm telling you, I'm looking everywhere. Man, they just killed four cops in town over in Reynosa. They just killed about 130 people and put them in mass graves. I'm walking circumspectly. Old Tito's just walking right along. No, don't bother him none. He's used to it. It's the way he lives. Just the way it is. Yeah, this is this. This is that. He's quite fine with it. I'm telling you, I wasn't. I was in an enemy land.
Come on, brother.
I know what it is to feel peace. I know what it is to feel free. They may not know that, but I do. And I know one thing. I like freedom. But when you're standing in the enemy, we need to walk circumspectly. And we're standing on the brink. I firmly believe it. I'll say it 100 times tonight. We're standing on the banks of Jordan and the enemy's about ready to be there. We're about ready to be on their door in many shapes and forms and sizes. And we need to be strong and of a good courage. And we need to observe all the law of God. We need to walk circumspectly. We don't need to be fools in this life. We need to be wise in the Spirit of the Lord. We need the law of God written upon our hearts, and we need to obey the Word.
Yes.
If God's Word says that we are not to be brought under the power of any, then we don't need to be an alcoholic or a drug addict or a TV addict or a radio addict or a car addict or a chainsaw addict or a table saw addict. What we need to do is redeem the time and look to God and say, God, I need to walk forward in You. We spend more time on things. I'm just going to say this for just a little side note, if I can, real quick. I think sometimes we forget how blessed we are to have a pastor that's freed. That Brother Woods has been freed to be the pastor that he needs to be to this church. I find myself on the internet a lot, Brother John, looking up door slides and hinges and handles and researching nail guns and things. What do I need to do? I've spent hours, Brother John, on Sir Guy's Custom Woodworking. Hours. Because it's who I am. That's what I have to do. If I don't know what I'm doing and I don't know how to build it, I can't provide for my family. It's my job. And Brother Woods has been here. And I'm telling you something. He ain't here tonight so I can talk about him. That man, if he ain't at home praying, he's here. He's studying. If he's not here, he's at someone's house. We don't never need to look at these men, Brother Doug, Brother Woods, in their lives and say, why are they not doing more? Why they haven't visited? Why haven't they been? I may go on a rabbit trail, but I'm going to rabbit a little while. I'm going to bark on it a little while in a circle. Because sometimes I think we forget what they're doing for us.
Right.
They're laboring. They're working all that they can do. And I'm glad for it. Because it's where we are. God has brought us to this hour. God has brought us to this place. Here's where we are. If you don't see it, I hope you do tonight. The second thing He says to them. And He says, turn not from it. Literally, go aside. To leave undone. To rebel. Or to revolt. Some interesting passages. If I can do it real quick here tonight. I've got a lot of reading. I'm going to have to kind of sum it up here. Jeremiah 5, He says, this people hath revolted. And I want to read this whole thing because I believe it's a parallel to America. Turn there with me. That way if I don't get a word just right, you can correct it there in your mind. Jeremiah chapter 5. If you don't see a parallel to America in this passage, you never will. Jeremiah 5 and 20 says, declare this to the house of Jacob and publish it in Judea, saying, hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by the perpetual degree, that it cannot pass it, and through the waves thereof toss themselves? Yet can they not prevail? Though they roar, yet they cannot pass over it. But this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. It's the same word in Joshua that he says, turn not from it. Turn not is the word revolted. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth the rain, both the former and the latter. In His season He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned those things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay in wait as he that setteth snares. They set a trap, they catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore they are become great and waxen rich. They are waxen fat. They shine. Yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless. Yet they prosper. And the right of the needy do they not judge. So shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord. Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? A wonderful and a horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? That's where we are. That's where we're standing. We're in a place where men have turned from it, Brother John. They're not turning to it, they turn from it. God says if you're going to take the land, one thing, first things first, observe to do all the law. Number two, don't turn from it. Hold to it. Learn the law of God. Write it on your heart. Don't revolt against it. Don't rebel when the Word of God is preached to us. When the message comes and it's right, don't rebel. We can't win if we're rebellious against the Word of God. Can I just hit a couple notes right here? If you're not sanctified, if you're not filled with the Spirit, if you're not saved, you need to be. Don't revolt against it. How are we ever going to prosper? How are we going to go forward with our enemies? How are we going to stand in the day when it's been preached to us and it's been taught to us, yet we turn away from it and we revolt against the truth? Two more, I'm going to close. You're going to sleep on me. Is everybody all right? I got a whole other page on that one. I had a good one on that one, but I'm going to go through it. Number three, the third thing he tells them, he says, the word shall not depart out of their mouth. We need to speak it. It's an interesting word. It's found numerous times in the Old Testament, this word mouth. I was amazed, actually, at some of the phrases that it used, because I still use them in West Virginia. And I never knew that it was a biblical mindset. It's used several times. I picked out just a couple common ways that it's used that we know of. The first one is the physical mouth. In the book of Genesis, it talks about Noah sending out the dove. And the Bible says that when the dove returned, it had an olive branch in its mouth. It was literally the physical mouth. The second way that I wish to share is it's an entrance to something, such as the mouth of a cave. I don't know if you ever heard that phrase or not. We use that a lot. It means the entrance. It's an entrance to something. It's the mouth of it. The third way that it's used in physical speech. We often put it this way. Man, that guy's got a dirty mouth. We understand that it's his words that come out of his mouth. Another way that I found here in eastern North Carolina, it is literally speech itself or talking. Boy, he's got a mouth on him. You ever heard someone at a ball game and you're sitting over there and I mean that one guy is just overpowering Abby, Brother Emery. He's overpowering everybody else. Man, that guy's got a mouth on him. Means his vocal cords are really stretched out. I mean, he can really get it. He is loud. We use the word mouth in a sense of being loud. Or the other way is, boy, that fella's talking ugly. Never heard that until I moved to eastern North Carolina. I just thought the man was literally physically an ugly fella. But he's talking ugly. It's his speech. It's the words that he uses. Not so much the pitch of his words or how loud it is or the entrance to something or the physical mouth. But this word here literally is the word that talks about your speech. Talks about what you're talking about. Don't let it ever leave your mouth. Your words ever need to bring forth the Word of God. I am so glad when I get around saints, because it isn't long till they say something about God. They unwillingly say it. Man, the Lord did this. Thank you, Jesus. When you get around sinners, you don't hear that. When you get around most of my family, you don't hear that. Hence, sinners. They talk about everything else but the Word of God. They'll give you every type of scenario to describe their life and others' life, and it never one time has a biblical connotation. It never has an illustration out of the Word of God or words from the Word of God. But God says, let it never stop from coming out of your mouth. I get around people that claim they're Christians, but you'll go days and days with them and work with them, and you never hear anything that comes out of their mouth other than things that shouldn't. Other than things that is, but yet they claim to know God. Don't work that way. God says if you're going to win in the face of your enemy, then the words that come out of your mouth must be wholesome, holy, sanctified, pure words. That the Word of God will never leave your mouth. We need to become people that quote the book. That quote the Scripture. That can turn and know the songs. How many can turn to those songs and sing half of them, Brother John sings? At least choruses. Usually everyone knows the first verse and the chorus. Beyond that, a lot of times you forget everything else, but you always remember the first verse and the chorus. In West Virginia, it was a common thing. Let's sing a verse and a chorus. It was always the first one and the chorus. Because you couldn't remember anything else. But we remember it. Why? Because we hear it over and over again. Right. Men are not going to quote the Scripture if they don't read it, Brother John.
Right. Amen.
If you don't open this book, you can't know it. You're not going to learn it just because one or two people read it or you've heard message. I'm telling you, you can sit in a church for 30 and 50 years and hear message after message, but if you don't read it yourself, you won't know it. It won't be in your heart. You'll be able to quote some famous cliches in a couple of verses, but you'll never remember where it's at. You'll not know where it is. That's why I love being Brother Woods. I said, I don't need a concordance as long as I've got him. I said, he's my walking concordance. Brother Woods, where is it at? Most likely, he'll tell you. If he don't know it, I'll call Dulles. If they can't find it, I'll find Esau. Because there's things I just don't know, Brother John.
Right.
Why? Because we don't spend as much time as we ought to.
That's true.
We're not there like we need to know it. We need to spend time. And God says, okay, you're going to win in Canaan, Joshua. Be strong and of a good courage. Fortify yourself. Build yourself up. In what? In the Word of God. Right here. Not letting it proceed out of your mouth. Not departing from the law of God. Last thing. And I'm going to close. The fourth thing he says is to meditate therein. I've got about five different places in the Psalms tonight. Why don't you help me? I think this will be good. Brother John, why don't you help me read Psalms chapter. Psalms 1. I believe it's the whole passage, 1 through 6, just about six verses. I want you to read all of them. Let's see here. Who wants to read? Somebody raise your hand. Who wants to read? Sister Knox, go to Psalms chapter 63. There, I'm doing it again. Psalm 63. And I believe that one's the whole chapter, or the whole Psalms as well. I'll get it right in a minute. It's 1 through 11. Who wants to read? Somebody raise their hand. Brother Al, Psalm 77, about three verses there, 10 through 12. Who wants to read? Andrew. Abby wants to read? I'll give you one, Sister Abby. Psalms 143, Andrew, 1 through 6. Abby. 1 Timothy 4, 15 and 16. I want you to follow with them. Just a few places here. Psalms 1. Let's go there. Everybody go there. Psalms 1. 1 through 6. Go ahead, Brother John.
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
Meditation. It's one thing to read it, to memorize it. You can memorize something and put it in the back of your mind. I know you've all heard the poem that I often quote, the monkey poem. Everybody usually likes the monkey poem. I heard that probably about Anna's 14. 16 years ago, 17. God wouldn't let me have it. It's about five stanzas long. Wouldn't let me have it unless I memorized it. He said, you'll lose the paper, but if you memorize it, they can't take it from you. You'll never lose it. So it took me a weekend. I memorized it. And I oftentimes have to go back to it. I love to recite it. Oftentimes, in my own mind, I'll be sitting in something, I'll see a monkey on TV or something and remind me of the monkey poem, and I'll quote it. Because I need to meditate on it. I need to think about it. It's one thing to have it, but it's another to meditate. Two different things here. Two different commands that God tells Joshua. One thing is to obey it. Do it. Observe. To do all the law. The other thing he tells him is to meditate in that law. Think about it. You just need to stop and think about what you've read. I know you've done it just like I have and every other person. You read it, you can read through a whole chapter, and you do not remember the first thing that you read. 50 verses. And when you get down at the end, you're like, what did I even read? What was that? I missed everything in it. There was no time of thought. There was no time to look at it. But the psalmist says this, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night. Look at the next one. Everybody go there. 63. Psalm 63 and 1. When I remember thee upon my bed, early will I seek thee. Go on and read it. One of the first things I have committed myself to doing, first thing when I get out of bed, is grab my Bible. First thing. And spend time with the Lord. Brother Doug, I believe it was Brother Doug, taught on this passage of Scripture a while back. And I was so glad he did, because he said this word early didn't always mean early morning. It was just when, as soon as you get up and get going. I said, thank you, Lord, for that. That it's just when I get up. So early, whatever early is for me, is when I get up and get going. First thing I do when I get out of bed is I grab my book. And there's times when you all are in bed and it's about 4 o'clock in the morning and I'm building cabinets. And I remember what God has done. Some of the greatest things is when you hear a song. Some people don't like so much music, but I really enjoy music. I'm a music person. I get in that shop, man, I like to turn that thing up. And listen to that. And then they get really goofy preachers come on there and I got to turn it off. Can't stand it. But I like to hear a song, man. There'll be times, Brother Al, in the presence of the Lord, a song will hit. I was listening to one the other day. I wish I'd wrote it down. I said, man, I want that played at my funeral. And it talked about dying and a saint of God going on to be with the Lord. And I mean, I just literally wept in the presence of God and said, thank you, God, that I know where I'm going. That I don't have to worry and I don't have to fret when I stand at the face of the enemy. And I'm standing on Jordan's bank. I know where I'm headed because I have meditated upon it. I have thought about it. I have commissioned and conditioned my mind to the very fact that I'm going to make it. I'm going through. I have started out and I'm going to finish. I'm glad that when I get up, I can meditate on it. And when I go to bed, I can just lay there and look back through the day and see how much God has been with me. All day long, just look back at the simple thing. Lord, you've kept me here. You've done this. You've done that. And know how good God is. Let's go to the next one. Psalm 77, please. 10 through 12.
10 through 12.
Correct.
10 through 12. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work, talk of thy doing.
The sister, she may have felt like she went long tonight, but sister, I didn't. I appreciate the testimonies of saints
right.
That can sit down and tell you, this is what God has done for me.
Amen.
I remember that. That's right there is how we get through our enemies. Because we remember. The Bible says that it's line upon line. Precept upon precept. From glory unto glory. The Bible says that the righteousness of God, the rightness, the goodness, the mercy, the correctness of God is revealed from faith to faith. You know what that means? From one hardship to the next. Because it takes faith when you're in the battle. When you're standing there and you're not sure, so how do I know that God is good? Because He takes me from one battle to the next. From one enemy to the next. From one hardship to the next. And I remember, you know what, God? You did it then. You'll do it again. You brought me through that enemy. You're going to take me through the next one. Let's look at the next passage, please. Psalms 143, 1 through 6.
Faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness. In the night of judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul, and hath smitten my life down to the ground, hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me, my heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old, I meditate on all thy works, I muse on the works of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee, my soul thirsteth after thee, as a thirsty man.
When the enemies are there, persecuted my soul, smitten my life to the ground, has made me dwell in darkness. Therefore, my spirit's overwhelmed. Have you ever been there? If you haven't, I'm telling you, we're going to be. It's where we're headed. And my heart is desolate. Verse 5 tells the tale. I'll remember the days of old. I will meditate on my works, on thy works. I will muse, or literally, I will ponder on all of thy work. It's a good thing to meditate on the law of God.
Yes.
That's what's going to take us through. Go ahead, Abby. 1 Timothy chapter 4, 15 and 16. Again, he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This my people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. How do we take courage? How do we stand on the banks of Jordan and know the enemy is right there? And how do we fortify ourselves? How do we build ourselves up? How do we take courage? How do we walk circumspectly? How can we stand when our hearts are failing us, and to be honest with you, we don't know which way to go? Do we go out? I'm going to be a little plain tonight. Simple preaching, teaching, whatever it might be. Do we go out and get more canned food? Do we go out and build bunkers in the ground? Do we go out and do this is what the world is telling us. This is the mindset. And if you're not careful, that will overwhelm you. It'll get you. It'll grip your heart. But I'm telling you, this is what God tells His people about the promised land, about the promises that God has given. Four simple things, He tells them. Be strong, be very courageous. How? How do I do that? How do I take courage? By observing to do all that is in the law, to turn not from it, to not let it depart out of my mouth, and to meditate day and night.
Right.
Simple.
Right.
Simple. Obey the law of God. Be obedient to it. Think about it. Because it's in that book, when you read that book and you're down there and the enemy is casting you down and you remember, I'm cast out, but I'm not destroyed. I'm persecuted, but I'm not done away with. I'm here. There's neither height nor depth nor power nor principality can separate me from the love of God. I am more than a conqueror. I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengtheneth me. God delivers us and He helps us. We have just begun to fight. Let's stand. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your grace and Your mercy to us. I know it's where we're at, Lord. I can feel it more every day. I feel it in my spirit. I see it in the things that are happening around us. But yet, God, I am also reminded that You've given us some promises, Lord, of Canaan. You've given us some promises of winning our nation and reaching our nation, reaching out to those in our communities and winning souls, Lord. You've promised us these things, Lord, and I'm going to obey that promise. I'm going to go in and I'm going to fight. I'm going to take this promise. I'm going to learn from it. I'm going to be obedient to the law. I'm going to hold to the truth, God. I'm going to do what You've commanded us to do. Help us, Lord, to take courage in these things. Lord, to remember what it is that when we fortify our minds, Lord, that the enemy can't overrun us. That our minds will be girded and our hearts will be entrusted into your words, Lord, that your presence will be with us in the hours of difficulties and struggles. God, I don't know what's coming our way, Lord, but I know that something's coming. And I know you're going to be with us. I know these things are here. I don't want to be ignorant to it. I don't want to be misled to those things, Lord, but as well, I don't want to be fearful. I don't want to be worried. I don't want to be discouraged or discouraged. I want to be strengthened by the Word of God. I want to fight until you take us home. Be with us, Master. Thank you for those that are here tonight, God, for your mercy and your grace. Lord, we need you more than we've ever needed you. We need your grace, Lord, in every step that we take. Please be with us. Direct us, Lord. Direct our hearts and our labors and our efforts, God, that they'll be fruitful. That we'll not spin our wheels, Master, but we'll do things that are pleasing to you and labor in that kingdom. Please be with us tonight, God. God, I pray you'll touch the woods as they travel home tonight. Be with them. Keep your hand upon them, Lord, us as well. As we go home in days to come, Lord, there's much to be done. I know there's a lot of physical things in our homes that have to be taken care of, Master. It's the life and we live. It's the situation and the hour. God, and I know you're patient with us in these things. Let your grace give us strength, show us what to do and when to do it. Let us rely upon your Spirit, God, and not fail you in any way. God, we need you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.